Hey guys, Andy here, and welcome to another episode of Two Bros, One Flick. And I'm also along here with Sam with great UT shorts. I didn't even notice these until now.
Oh, thank you so much, Andy.
It matches with your chair.
Yeah, it does. Burnt orange is a very important color in my life.
You bleed burnt orange.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
I remember thinking that was a really creepy saying when I was a freshman at UT.
Yeah, it doesn't really work.
Yeah, when you bleed orange, like...
Bleed orange.
I always thought that was a little creepy.
Yeah.
But I like it now. It's okay.
Well, after my bout with Chicken Express last night.
You can't blame the
I
Chicken
spray
Express.
Orange.
Dude, it's, you know, I think we found the core of the issue, and it was the water gravy.
The gravy water.
Yeah, gravy water.
Yeah.
It was very watery gravy.
Oh, crap. We only have enough to fill half a cup of gravy. Let's fill it in with the rest of the water.
Yeah.
And by water, we mean our employee's saliva.
It was unacceptable.
Yes.
And that's why I didn't eat any of it. And I didn't get sick or anything.
That's the key. Yeah. Don't eat the gravy water.
Yeah, don't do that. Stick with Whataburger's gravy, which is pretty good.
It's pretty good. Yeah, not too bad.
Not bad.
Anyway, we're going to have a fun time today, Sam, because you are going to lead a discussion on...
2013, right?
Yep.
Man of Steel, the new Superman movie that Zack Snyder directed of Watchmen fame. Great job.
Yeah.
And stars...
300. He did 300 as well.
Did he do 300?
Yes.
I thought that was Robert Rodriguez.
No. Oh, no. That wasn't Robert. He did Sin City, and the creator of Sin City also made 300.
Oh, you are right. I am wrong. And his freshest movie is Dawn of the Dead at 75%. Not Robert Rodriguez, Zack Snyder.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, he's working backwards.
He is working backwards. And, yeah, whatever.
Well, anyway, do you mind reading the synopsis off of Rotten Tomatoes for us?
Or,
I mean, not the synopsis, I mean the critic consensus.
The critic consensus, which is at a 56%. I don't know if that's really appropriate for this, if that's fair for this movie.
Okay.
But, 'cause I haven't seen it. But I'll say that it says, Man of Steel provides exhilarating action and spectacle to overcome its detours into generic blockbuster territory. Would you say that's fair, Andy, since you've seen it?
I'd say I agree with everything about the generic blockbuster. It was a generic blockbuster. And you did get interesting action shots, but that's, you know, it goes on for way too long. And I'll explain that in my little review after that. But I guess we should introduce our newest segment to the podcast.
Justin's Corner.
Justin's Corner, our good friend Justin, who unfortunately had to leave us because he graduated.
He's a grown-up now.
Yeah, why can't you just get held back like the rest of
us?
He's
a big boy.
Yeah.
Big boy work.
Anyway, we wish him the best, but we're still going to make him work his ass off.
Yeah.
Great. So thank you, Justin, for he actually recorded a review back in his place, far away from Lubbock, as far south as you can get from Lubbock, pretty much.
Yeah.
But anyway, here it is, guys. It's Justin's take on Superman Man of Steel, and we're excited to have this segment.
For sure.
And hopefully we can keep on doing it as long as he watches movies. And he watches more movies than any of us.
Yeah, definitely.
So here we go. Yeah, everybody, welcome to Justin's Corner.
Awesome.
Hey guys, okay, let me tell you what I thought about Man of Steel. I'm going to try to keep this short as I can. It's probably going to go on for a little while, but I did take notes, and so hopefully it has some structure to it, and it's not just me rambling to myself. So I saw the movie twice, and the more I think about it, the further away I get, the more I don't like it. Initially, I kind of had a feeling about it like I did The Dark Knight Rises, like, okay, they tried something, and didn't really work, but not too bad. But then the more and more I think about it, the more I really just hate it, and the cracks really start to show. Pretty much every scene had something wrong with it to me, whether it was a structure or tone or logical inconsistencies, things like that, and just easy fixes sometimes too. It was like, huh, I wonder why they wrote it like that, and no one in the room like raised their hand and said, oh, how about we do it like this? I don't know. It was baffling to me. I'll try to just mention the most egregious examples here. First of all, I'm not going to talk too much about the third act where it got all super explosions, just because I figure y'all will probably talk about that in depth, and just how, you know, when you have characters fighting that you've established are indestructible, why are you throwing them through a building? Like, what's the point? Except to show that other people are suffering, since these characters can't physically suffer, but then they never show that, so it's just buildings falling down for no reason. There's no consequence, and it gets really, really boring. So yeah, third act, I'm sure you'll talk about that. I'll skip that part. So right away, opening scene, they establish that MacGuffin, the monkey skull thing that has all of Krypton's DNA in it, or whatever. I get that it's a MacGuffin. You don't really have to know how it works, but I still don't get it. Like, they put it inside Superman so he can pass on Kryptonian DNA, but he's already Kryptonian. I know he was born from natural birth, but, like, best he can do is mate with a human and have a half-Kryptonian, half-human baby. Like, what does giving him this DNA... It doesn't... It's supposed to be motivation for Zod, but, like, it wasn't necessary. Like, in the Superman 2... Zod just, his whole motivation was, hey, I'm super powerful on Earth, I'm gonna take this over and make the son of Jor-El kneel before Zod. Like, that was all the motivation you need. And this one, they really make the story more convoluted than it needs to be, and it's just, it doesn't do it any favors. It's constantly weighed down by this thing about evolution versus, I guess, versus space Jesus? I'm not sure what the message is there, but, also, I found it odd in the beginning, they purposefully send him to Earth. Like, they find the planet, like, ah, that's where we'll send him. He'll be super strong there. His cells will drink up the sun's radiation. So, why didn't the Kryptonians just go to Earth a long time ago if it makes them superhuman there? They clearly have the technology. They've sent a scout ship there before, we find out, 18,000 years ago. Did this scout ship never be like, hey, we're super strong here. We should live here. I mean, they wouldn't have to go to war with anybody. There weren't really humans 18,000 years ago. Like, I don't know. So that was just kind of something weird also that raises a lot of questions. That actually brings me to that scout ship. I want to talk more about that Superman finds in the ice. So Jor-El sent Superman with that little flash drive S thing that has all the data of Krypton's history and holographic Jor-El information about who Superman is, all that stuff. And I guess it's basically really is Jor-El. I mean, it has his consciousness, and it has memories from things that happened after Jor-El died. So, I don't know, that was weird. It's basically a person. Now, okay, adult Superman's only able to read the information on this flash drive because he finds out that there's a mysterious ship buried in the ice in the Arctic. And we're then told that, like, the ice around the ship says it's been there for 18,000 years. So, okay, two things. First, I guess Jor-El knew that ship was there when he sent Superman there, because otherwise why would he give him this flash drive with no way to read it? So that was a little strange. And also, the only reason Superman finds that ship, he just happens to overhear two military guys in a bar talking about it and just happens to go check it out because he happens to be kind of a drifter and is looking for his way in life. So, like, did Jor-El know all those things would happen? Also, why has Kryptonian technology not changed in 18,000 years? Like, if you gave me a flash drive today, and then you dug up an artifact, a human artifact, you know, whatever you want to call it, from 18,000 years ago, it's probably not going to be able to read my flash drive. So, that's a little strange that Kryptonian technology doesn't advance, ever. Okay, the product placement was distractingly awful. Like, oh man, that was not subtle at all. Like, Smallville, brought to you by Sears. And at one point, Superman's fighting the girl, Feora. They're fighting inside an IHOP. Like, he gets thrown into an IHOP. And then they get up and fight inside the IHOP. Man. And then it's like, close-up shot of Lois Lane putting her Nikon camera down. And then when Zod's message is being displayed on every TV screen, some girl's like, oh, it's also on my huge Nokia phone. Like, that was distracting. I understand there's product placement in movies, but there's way, way more subtle ways to do it than that. Let's see, that tornado scene I had a problem with. The whole Jonathan Kent character didn't make a lot of sense in this movie. They really screwed up in that tornado scene, like where Jonathan Kent dies. That scene could have been set up to show that, like, despite Superman's powers, he can't save everyone. And that is kind of the burden that character carries, is that as good as he is, he can't be everywhere at once. He is going to fail sometimes. He can't save everybody. And, like, that's his burden. And this scene should have been written in a way that made Clark have to choose between saving his mom or saving his dad, Martha and Jonathan. And instead, we're just left with a scene that raises a bunch of logical questions, such as, why does Jonathan go save the dog instead of Clark? Jonathan tells Clark to keep his mom and the others safe, but all Clark does is stand with them under an overpass. He doesn't actively do anything to keep them safe. What if that overpass collapsed on them? Would Jonathan approve of Clark using his powers then? Like, what good is accomplished by Superman just passively standing there under a bridge? It just seems like Jonathan wanted to die. And furthermore, when Clark finally decides to run out and save Jonathan, he holds his hand up and just nods his head no. And I guess because he doesn't want people to know that Clark has superpowers. He's like, the world's not ready and they'll freak out. But at this point in his life, Clark's already saved those kids on the bus, so those people know, and the world hasn't ended. I mean, they freaked out a little bit, but I guess they got over it. Also, later in his life, the very like first scene of the movie when he's an adult, he saves those men on a burning oil rig. So it's not like Clark learned anything from Jonathan's sacrifice, because that oil rig thing takes place after Jonathan died. So what exactly did he die for? We're just left with a muddled message from Pa Kent that, you know, Superman, the world isn't ready to know that you have powers, so don't ever use them to do anything good, regardless of how easy or clearly beneficial it would be. And that just seems strange. And that kind of leaves me with the overall problem with the movie. Like, Superman's supposed to be this Christ-like figure, and man, that metaphor scene, did you notice? Do you get it? Superman's like Jesus. Do you get it? Here's Superman with a stained glass window of Jesus behind him. Let me frame it just so he's right next to him. Do you get it? Man, like, that was not exactly subtle either. I mean, I'm not hating on that because I'm not religious. I'm just saying that was filmed poorly. Why would the people of Earth view Superman as a Christ-like figure after the events of this movie? Like, he hasn't done anything to show that he's this all-good, incorruptible being. All people would really know is that, okay, there's a very powerful human-looking alien who can fly and is super strong, and he fought other aliens, and most of a major city was completely demolished, and tens of thousands of people are dead. What? Like, and why should we look up to this guy? Like, what? There's no emotional attachment there. Like, all that stuff was just about the scenery and not about the characters. And I just expected the story to dig a little deeper, mainly because of, like, Christopher Nolan and David S. Goyer's involvement. Because, like, with Batman, they did a good job with the whole, you know, Batman's more than a man, he's a symbol aspect of the character. Like, anyone could be Batman. It's the symbol that's important. It's what he stands for. And Man of Steel talked about that. Like, most of Jor-El's lines were about this idea of, like, an omnibenevolent, omnipotent being. Like, what if a child aspired to be something greater than society had, you know, demanded of him? And, you know, you could be the guiding light for humanity. You can lead them into the sun, all that stuff. But that's all they did was talk about, like, how great would it be if you were this great moral character? But he never actually did any of those things to earn that. They didn't earn the character. It was just tell, don't show. And I watched the trailers, both of them, the longer trailers, right before I recorded this. And I don't think there's been a movie in my, like, I can remember being so excited for by the trailer and then sucking so bad. And, man, this movie sucked. Anyway, that's my take. Thanks for having me on. See you later, guys.
All right. That was a pretty good first Justin's Corner, I must say.
Yeah, that was awesome.
I love the intro that you made
for him.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. It took me too long to figure out how to make that.
Well, I think we can just blame Ableton and praise Reaper.
Yes,
for that, right?
Reaper. Oh, my God. So much easier.
And a company named Kakos.
Oh, yeah.
Kakos.
But, so that was Justin's take. Actually, I remember right before spring break, Justin's like, hey, man, the full trailer in HD just came out.
For Man of Steel.
And he put it on the HDMI on the big screen, and we watched it, and it looked cool, and he was very excited about
it. Yeah, but he's like a Superman fan.
Yeah, and so I guess we
should
just
say, not like in a bad way. Like, he really
likes
Superman.
No, he likes Superman, and it's like one of those things where it's like, you know, this Justin was really excited about it, and he doesn't go into the movie like oh, this is going to be a piece of shit. He genuinely wanted this movie to succeed.
Yeah.
But there were lots of, and he did it so much that you heard him say he even wanted to go a second time. And he did go it a second time.
Really?
And he hated it even more.
Aww.
Yeah. But, so he had a lot of criticism on the movie. I think my biggest criticism is it was overly long.
Yeah, I saw the runtime. It's like 2 hours and 30 minutes or 2 hours and 20 minutes.
Yeah, and the last 30 minutes are, okay, so what happens?
Tell me the arc, because
I don't
know anything
about
this.
So it's essentially an origin story.
Yeah.
Right? And a lot of it is Russell Crowe instead of Superman, to be honest. Like, Russell Crowe could almost be counted as the star of this
movie. You mean Jor-El?
Yes.
Okay.
His dad. Because even after his dad dies, he programs his kind
consciousness?
Of consciousness into the vehicle that shot Superman to Earth.
Okay.
So he finds the vehicle.
Yeah.
Or I think, I don't know if it was Superman's vehicle that shot him to Earth. No, it wasn't. I'm sorry. It was some lost vehicle that when like his people came to Earth and as like an exploratory
Kryptonians.
Yeah, an exploratory like kind of detail, and the ship crashed.
Yes.
And so he finds this ship, and then his dad pops up. He's like, I knew you'd find this ship. And it's Russell Crowe, and he's doing this. And Russell Crowe is in the adventure because he's guiding them through all sorts of different parts of, like, helping Amy Adams.
Like Eagle Eye.
Yeah, like Eagle Eye. Yeah, yeah. So this movie...
That sounds confusing.
Well, it's not confusing so much as it's just, like, unneeded and unnecessary.
Well, yeah. Like, I mean, that sounds confusing for someone who's familiar with the original Superman story, which is basically Krypton is going to shit.
Well, Krypton does go to shit.
Jor-El and then
shoot Superman, yeah.
Send Kal-El to Earth. Kal-El grows up as a boy and then realizes he has superpowers.
That's all the origin. That's the same movie, but it's done in a shitty way.
Just kind of a confusing way where Jor-El shows up over
yeah,
and over.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay.
And, you know, it's kind of like... And that's how a lot of it is done with Russell Crowe telling him who he is and what he's about rather than him finding out on his own.
Okay. Because
it's Kevin Costner and Diane Lane play his parents on Earth.
Okay.
And they do a good job. Kevin Costner has a stupid death scene, a very stupid death scene.
It's like a bridge thing, right?
Well, yeah, it's a tornado coming. This is spoiler, just because you guys have already seen this movie, I'm pretty sure. But the tornado is coming. People are freaking out. Traffic jam. Get out of the car. They all get out of the car. Kevin Costner realizes the dog is stuck in their car, so Kevin Costner goes to get the dog while the tornado is coming.
That's dumb.
Dog is freed,
okay.
I think.
Just like
right?
in Sharknado.
Yeah, 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 yeah. But Kevin Costner, like, breaks his foot or something, lands on his foot so he can't move.
Oh, that's a
and
bummer.
And then he finally, he broke his leg and he's walking back and he realizes he's not going to make it.
Yeah.
And Superman, right, is looking at him like, I'm going to come and get you. And Kevin Costner just looks at him, shakes his head, and just waves like, no.
Yeah.
Like, I'm at peace.
And Justin said that was after, like Kal-El already kind of exposed himself
to the whole community.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. By saving a bunch of kids.
But yeah, yeah, yeah. Pushing a school bus out of a lake.
Yeah.
So
normal people can do that though.
Yeah. There's a lot of stuff. We had a friend. There's a lot of Mr.'s nicknames in our podcast, but we'll call him Master P.
Okay.
He's a 1 year 1 year below us. Yeah. You know what I'm talking about. And he had a problem because in the end, Superman kills the bad guy. Superman kills Zod.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, I remember hearing about that too. He like kills
snaps his neck.
Yeah. What's the dude's name? I can't.
Zod.
Zod. Yeah, he just kills Zod.
And apparently it's a big no-no for Superman to kill anyone.
Well, for one, he's supposed to be like Batman in the sense that Batman doesn't really kill anyone except for I think in the Ultimate series where he kills some bad guys. But that's beside the point.
Right.
Like for one, Superman's not supposed to kill anyone, and for two, he's not supposed to kill Zod, who's like one of his main rivals and
menacing enemies, right? It comes back and back over and over again.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He's like one of the more important bad guys in the sense that he develops Kal-El's story with the Kryptonian stuff and is kind of like the... Whenever Lex Luthor isn't doing something bad to Superman, it's like Zod and his friends. Yeah.
Well, there's a lot of stuff. One of my bigger gripes
with respect to meaningful bad guys.
Yeah. As far as like, oh, they had Superman and they didn't do this with him. My gripe was, and this is coming from a casual Superman guy.
Yeah.
Right. Like, I don't care. I'll watch a Superman movie.
Yeah.
He didn't use his ice breath to do anything at all.
Maybe he doesn't know he has ice.
That was the best
breath.
Part, right? And you know, but he knew. You see, you would think that, but he knows he has eye lasers.
Maybe they're saving that for the next one.
Yeah, which is cheap because they should use all of his shit over and over again because that's what he does. The first scene of when he saves people is a flaming oil rig, and he doesn't use it at all. He busts open the door and he's on fire.
It's too obvious.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But it's like one of those things where it's just ugh. You should have used it. And Zack Snyder has a problem with things like this.
Well, it's also that Superman is kind of an idiot.
Yeah.
Like, he's not... Like, Batman is supposed to be the clever, kind of deft, like, adept one. And then Superman's sort of supposed to be, like, the bumbling jock who just has a lot of...
Sure, sure, sure.
...natural talent.
And this was... Justin had a problem with the guy who played it, and I guess I did, too. He's kind of a...
What's his name? Henry Cavelli?
Cavill.
My bad.
Yeah. Cavelli is a cooler name.
I was thinking of John Cavelli. But
anyway.
Yeah.
The movie's our overall arc is that, you know, Zod and his henchmen were put in exile right before the planet turned to shit. Right?
Uh-huh.
And actually, right after the planet was turned to shit, their kind of thing, they kind of unfroze from their exile.
Yeah.
And they come in, they're going to take over Earth, and it's like Superman and Earth finally band together and they have an understanding.
Yeah.
And then they defeat the impending doom that Zod and his friends created for them.
Okay.
And that's the end of the movie.
Oh.
That's so I thought. And then there's 30 minutes of Zod and Superman basically just punching each other.
Oh, okay.
And by 30 minutes, I mean 20 or 15.
Is it like the ending of The Matrix Revolutions?
Oh, kind of.
When
but
Agent Smith and Neo fight?
Yeah. That one was a long fight, too. But, like, this one was, like, you think it's done, and Zod is, like, a beaten man.
Yeah.
And he's on the ground or whatever. And then he turns to Superman. And he's like, hey, man, this isn't over.
Yeah.
And that's when they just do this duel, and they slam into, like, every building known to man.
Oh, okay.
And it's loud. Pop, pop, and you just see two CGI fighters just going through
the paces.
Yeah, almost. And the buildings. And yeah. Everyone is probably dying amongst, amidst this, like, clouds and, like, rubble shooting out of everywhere.
Yeah, like it's like the Powerpuff Girls when, they're fighting is destroying the city and probably hurting a lot of people.
Yeah, and Justin's talked about it where he says, you know, like, these guys, we know they're impervious to lots of things. You know, yeah. Kryptonite is – everyone should know that kryptonite is a thing. But they're just beating the shit out of each other for no reason.
Yeah.
And the very last scene – where Superman cracks the neck of Zod, is Zod is in, like, kind of like a, I don't know if he's an actual, if there's, like, Metropolis's Grand Central Station.
Yeah.
They crash into the station, and there's a family kind of in a little corner like that.
Okay.
And Zod is moving his head with his lasers towards the family.
Okay.
And Superman is trying to hold his head back with his hands.
Like one of the Bond
things. Yeah. He's pushing his head that way, and then, you know, and then in order for him to
prevent
the death of the family, he snaps his neck.
Okay.
And so that, and then that's pretty much the end of the movie. He gets a job at the reporter.
That seems really lame.
Yeah. But at that point, it was like, man, you guys have just blown up shit for the last 20 minutes. I don't even care anymore.
Yeah.
Because it means nothing what they're doing.
Okay.
It's like Zack Snyder is infatuated with, like, CGI.
Okay.
And it's like, oh, I didn't know you could do this with technology. You know? So it was annoying. It was just generic super movie conventions.
Superhero movie conventions. Yeah.
Because then it's like they're explaining the plan to destroy this kind of like the menace to Earth. And they're explaining the process. And so like they would say one thing and then the like person A would be like explaining it right after they say.
Oh, yeah, you told me about that. Like basically everything is
told to you like you're a retard.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's a problem with that. And there's other things where it's like, why is Amy Adams on this, like, plane going to attack the menace?
Oh, okay.
And it's like she needs – there's no reason for her to be on there.
She's a reporter. Lois?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, she's Lois. Yeah. Okay. So she's the reporter. And, you know, there are different ways you can handle an origin story. And I think at this juncture, people like you, me, and Justin are used to The Dark Knight being a great origin story.
Yeah, also because, like, they didn't really spend that much time on the origin of Batman.
Right.
Like, even though maybe, like, a good third to half of that first Batman movie was spent on Batman's origin, it didn't feel like a boring thing. It was just like, hey, let me tell you all – let me hit all the important points, and then let me hit this one point that we're going to revisit later. Because I imagine they're going to have to do another Batman movie just because Ra's al Ghul, like, is still at large.
I'm guessing it might be a reboot.
Maybe, yeah.
Because it's not going to be Christian Bale again.
Maybe, yeah. But, like, they should still, like, at least have him come back because he's still a major bad guy. Ra's al Ghul is to Batman as to what Zod is to Superman. Except that Superman killed Zod, apparently.
Yes.
Which is a big no-no. If he killed, like, some other bad guy, like, it wouldn't have been a big deal. But Zod is, like, one of the main antagonists and also a rival of Superman.
Yeah.
So, sort of weird to do that.
It was one of those things where this movie just kind of – they went a little overboard with – from the beginning with, like, they won't understand your strength.
Yeah.
So always hide it.
Yeah.
And it's annoying to watch, like, a first half of the movie. And then the second half of the movie, he's, like, putting on his full powers on full blast and probably killing millions of bystanders just by watching.
Yeah. You know? Also, it's weird because, like, it's still in the same world as Batman. Like, Batman exists in the same universe. And, like, the DC creators made it clear that, like, they're supposed to be together. That's why in the future there's going to be a movie where Superman and Batman work together to do stuff. So it was weird to me that, like, it's always weird to me that, like, in some of these origin stories for Superman, they're like, dude, you got to hold back. Don't save people and don't act like the superhero you are because the world won't understand you when they understand when they understand Batman.
Right. Yeah. But
just weird.
Good parts of the movie. Diane Lane did a good job playing the mom.
Yeah.
Some scenes were shot well. It's a big production. You know, you expect a lot more out of a movie with such a huge budget.
Yeah, I remember watching a thing that said that this summer of 2013 was one of the summers where the bigger studios spent the most money on the largest blockbusters, but then got kind of mediocre returns on their investments.
Right. Well, and you're talking about, as far as a downside, like the biggest downside was just kind of like the story arc in general. It could have been a passable superhero movie.
Yeah.
If they didn't have this third act of like the final, it's like we got rid of the problem and here we are. Here we are kind of fighting, doing a last duel, and no one's asking for this duel this time because it's already been like, we're kind of exhausted. All the fights, there are lots of fights that happen in the middle.
Kind of becomes mundane.
Yeah, yeah. That kind of didn't really mean anything because it's just like lots of slamming and bamming and whatever, but
all right.
It was draining to say the least, and it could have been so much better. It's again, you're victim to your own prior success.
This is like the third time for a Superman reboot too, right?
Yeah. Like you think you have such a good character with starting with Christopher Reeves, and then like the bar is set high for things like Batman. And you just want it to be better than it is. Zack Snyder kind of falls into the same thing because like Watchmen was a good movie. Too long again.
Yeah.
Watchmen was way too long.
Especially the Ultimate Edition that has the scenes from Tales from the Black Freighter that they took out of the theatrical release and all the extra scenes from when it was like, I don't remember what the Watchmen were called when they were back in time. Like not the current Watchmen, but the last generation,
like the
first generation of Watchmen. Whenever they did that, he cut a bunch of scenes from that are in the Ultimate Edition. And it's like a 4.5-hour movie, I think.
Right. It's
which
way
is just
too
ridiculous.
Long.
Don't do this to movies.
300 is also not a great movie, but, you know, it had its faults, like glaring faults. Like, Zack Snyder has glaring faults in all of his movies.
Pretty much. Except for Romeo plus Juliet.
Well, I mean, you're going to give this guy,
so much. The thing that's
you're
weird
gonna
to me,
take him, give him the helm, and then he's just gonna fuck it up.
Yeah,
the thing that's
weird to me with respect to Zack Snyder is that he came from a history, I think, of doing commercials and like TV spots for just like shows and things like that, which is fine. Nothing wrong with that. And they're creative or whatnot. And then he started doing like these big movies right off the bat with things like 300, and these are like over like breaking $100 million budget films.
Yeah.
And it seems kind of weird to give someone who is that fresh to the profession that much money to create big hits. I'm not saying like, you know, they went the wrong way or the right way, because a lot of his movies made a return, including Superman Returns, which as of I think last Saturday, August 3rd, actually made its money back and is up about $60 million.
Right.
From its initial budget of $225 million. It's grossed about $280 million. So like, you know, that's good.
Yeah.
But it's also kind of dumb to put that much money to someone who's so just kind of new to directing.
How much does the Avengers make?
The Avengers?
Yeah.
I don't know. But how about you tell me your 10-point scale and I'll update you.
Okay, so, well, like, I'll talk about, the story arc. I thought it was way too long. To me, this movie could have been so much better. I think, you know, a 10-point scale, I watched it and I didn't enjoy it. And actually, before I give us a 10-point scale, let's go back to The Avengers. And this is the problem
here. So The Avengers is directed by Joss Whedon, who's also somewhat young, but has certainly way more movies under his belt.
He's involved with lots of good things.
Yeah, way more iconic movies and cult classics like Buffy the Vampire Slayer. Mm-hmm. With the Avengers, the budget was $220 million, so $5 million less than Superman Returns.
Right.
And as of September 2012, so we're talking about a year ago, it had grossed $623 million. And so that's about $400 million over... after, I think, about 6 months release. So in 6 months, he had made $400 million.
That's the thing, right? You think about it, and the company, the studios invested this much money in the Superman expecting such a return.
Yeah.
And you guys fucked up.
Basically made $80 million, which isn't bad, but...
But to think of how much money you sunk.
Yeah.
You don't put that much money into a movie without thinking we're going to make a butt ton more.
Yeah, we're going to make at least, you know... a profit, and when we make a sizable profit, at least 100% profit, where if we spent $2, we expect to get $4 back.
Exactly. So, like, I think that's what they were going for, and they failed. And for this one, I'm going to give it a 5.
A 5?
A 5.
And, like, what kind of 5? Like, the kind where you would, you know, kind of
suggest
people see it?
If it's on TV, I would watch it.
Okay.
Or at least you'd watch it until you want to turn it off.
What about when it's in the, like, Walmart Best Buy bin for $5?
Ooh, I would buy it for $5, then watch it, then give it to someone.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because it's like, if you haven't seen it, and you're a Superman fan, you'll like it, but the last 30 minutes just ruined it.
Just it wasn't handled well?
It was terrible. And the thing is, like, I've had the same feeling when I watched The Watchmen.
Okay.
You know, and it's like, okay, so this happened, and then we're hit a grinding halt. In The Watchmen, you hit a grinding halt.
Actually, to me, The Watchmen was cool up to the, like, halfway point, and then it had that weird, like, that long part where the Night Owl dude makes friends with the Malin Ackerman character, and then they kind of fall in love. And, like, that part was a weird halt. And then after that part was over, it kind of picked up again.
Sure.
I know what you mean. Like, he hits these stops, and it's very...
It's a grind. And the thing was, like, and the difference there is, like, with Watchmen, it's more of an ensemble thing.
Yeah, there are tons of characters.
And each one is different. In this one, you have a Superman who's really kind of cold and icy and, like...
Sort of familiar, too.
Yeah, keeping to himself. And then the relationships, and this is probably maybe a fault to the origin story, is because, like, you don't have any relationships developed with characters that you know and love. So you have something to be excited about for the second movie when it's like, oh, him and Lois Lane working at the Daily Planet, right? And all these other things.
And then LexCorp.
Yeah. Stuff like that. But it was just... And here's how much I did not like the third act.
How much did you not like
this? Like another full point and a half, 6.5.
If it just ended earlier.
Yeah. Because it would have been like, oh, good summer blockbuster.
Yeah.
But, you know, I've seen Star Trek. I've seen Pacific Rim.
Yeah.
I've seen Fast 6.
Yeah.
All these movies trounce this movie.
Okay.
And it's one of those things where it's like, hey, you know, if you're going to be a generic blockbuster, just do everything conventional.
Yeah.
And the Superman movie would have came out okay.
Yeah.
Instead, you have this third act that means absolutely nothing. You're just filling screen time and probably cost you another $40 million to make.
Yeah.
Because it's just CGI.
Oh, okay.
So, like, and, you know, Rotten Tomatoes doesn't agree with me or Justin as far as the audience liking it. 77% of the audience likes it.
Oh, yeah.
Right? And that's just, I'm sorry, that is not the case.
Okay.
So it is a 5 for me straight up.
Okay.
I went to see it with my girlfriend, and she would give it like a, I think an 8. Because she really loves Superman.
Yeah, she's also Superman.
Yeah. And I think she's willing to forgive the third act.
Okay.
But and there were exciting moments, especially when you get the ball rolling with, like, okay, Superman's going to be his own.
Yeah.
Right? And the fights were really well done. The action was okay, especially in the middle. But once it got towards the end, man, it just took a nosedive.
Okay.
To just being like, this movie's a piece of shit.
Hmm.
So, yeah. But, I mean, that was my take on it. Justin kind of agrees with me. We have one friend, Mr. B, who really enjoyed the movie. Unfortunately, couldn't make it. But thank you for asking me all these questions,
nice.
Mr. Sam.
Totally. I think I learned a lot about the movie, and I probably learned that I would not
Would you ever
like...
watch it?
Probably not.
You'd be disappointed, too, because you know the backstory pretty well.
I know some of the backstory, and I also don't like the normal Superman story.
Uh-huh.
Like, some of the Ultimate stuff is cool, where, like, Lex Luthor is the president, because that, like, creates another level of distrust and another level of just, like, interesting things that they could explore. But, like, the normal story of Superman is pretty boring to me.
Uh-huh.
So I'm not a big fan of it.
I can see that.
And this didn't sound that interesting. It also sounded weird with Jor-El showing up all the time, because I don't think that's not in any Superman.
She is in it he dies in the first, and the planet blowing up, right?
Yeah,
is a really cool. It was a really cool kind of
like Alderaan.
Yeah, and it's like you have like your own. There's a space fight scene like amongst like spaceships with Jor-El and Zod.
Oh, okay.
Racing back to get to Superman with the DNA of the planet in Superman's, like, pod.
Uh-huh.
And that action already happens. So it kicks off with a lot of action.
Yeah.
The destruction, the implosion of the planet, I think, happens really in – it's 20 minutes dedicated to the explosion of the planet.
Okay.
And then you get into the stuff. So Russell Crowe is in the movie throughout. His presence is pervasive.
Okay.
And, you know, it's just kind of weird. It's and you know, it's like, I'm not going to do this movie unless I have a huge part in it.
Yeah.
And, you know.
Yeah, because
he
weird.
Thinks he's Noah.
Because, Jor-El doesn't have that in any, I don't think in any origin story.
Well, I wouldn't know, but like.
I haven't read all of them, but I don't think he does.
And in this one, it's more like Superman's questions of who am I or what are you, like, it's not come from the parents. He doesn't figure it out himself. Jor-El's like, you are this. It's because of that.
Let me tell you this.
And this happened, and you can do this.
Awesome.
And they will look up to you, but not right now.
Yeah.
Over and over again.
That's kind of dumb.
And he plays like the third man trying to save Superman when Lois Lane is trying to save him on this certain ship. Jor-El's like, come with me, go to this room.
Like Obi-Wan.
yeah. And then it'll be like, duck. And then, like, you know, she'll duck and someone punches her in the back of the head or something like that. Aww. Or misses, right?
So. Yeah. Okay. Well, I think the moral is just get ready for Avengers Age of Ultron, because that's going to be pretty sweet.
Oh, that's going to be good.
And don't watch Superman, if you haven't
seen
it.
It's sad because DC can make movies right with the help of good people, and people expected lots with Nolan involved with this one.
Yeah, since he produced.
Yeah. And you definitely have a fairly good soundtrack.
Yeah.
It's just lots of loud explosions. My ears were numb when it came out of the theater.
Aww.
But it was just okay. It could have been better.
Okay.
It's definitely a 5.
All right. Well, that's a 5 from Andy and kind of a probably more negative review from Justin. And
a true fan. But thank you, Justin, and I hope you enjoyed.
Yeah.
Justin's Corner.
Yeah,
Sam
expertly
mixed it in.
I tried my best.
Oh, yeah.
And, thanks for listening, as always. If you have any questions, comments, maybe teach us why Superman is worth a 77% on Rotten Tomatoes for the fans, not for the critics. Thanks for listening. Bye.
Bye.